mit Hard Believer auf Flux FM. Am kommenden Freitag, den 11.07., wird das 6. Studioalbum des Trios erscheinen. Und schon jetzt ist Finn Greenow bei mir im Studio und er hat aus der Band Tim mitgebracht. Wir quatschen über die Aufnahmen zum Hard Believer-Werk, das wie gesagt Freitag erscheint. Wir reden über die Partners in Crime der Band, den Produzenten Billy Bush aus L.A. oder zum Beispiel den kompositorisch begabten Blair McKagan, der wieder auf der Platte mitkomponieren durfte bei einem Song. Wir sprechen über die Inspirationsquelle Filmmusik, über das Arbeiten mit Stars, Live-Platten, das eigene Sublabel Recouped bei Ninja Tune und vieles, vieles mehr. Als erstes sage ich aber nochmal Hello and welcome, Finn and Tim.
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm
man. Totally
fine.
Well,
nice.
Look
into your faces. I feel nice. I'm happy to have you here. Really, really, really.
So how are you doing? Where are you coming from today? Are you on a promo tour or something for the album?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we've just done a really nice gig, actually, at the Apple store
on Kurfürstendamm.
Yeah, so it was much nicer than we expected it to be.
Yeah, it was like a kind of empire. It was like the Death Star of success. It's amazing. It's like an old cinema. They sell computers, but oh my God, you should see.
So you went into that white cube and talked about your record there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And came out wanting a new iPad. It's really weird.
We didn't get any free toys.
You think that's their idea behind that the band leaves the whole thing like,
it was a nice interview and you know what? I'd like to have one of these iPads.
You come out going,
crazy.
We got our phones out and we showed them how battered they were. We're like, oh, you know, I really need a new one of these. And they didn't.
No.
They didn't budge.
Nice. They once asked me to do some interviews there with bands.
Sure,
and they'd be like, yeah, and after the fifth interview, you get a new iPad from us. And I'd be like, oh, sorry, I don't have any time.
Yeah, fair
because
enough.
It was like, come on, let the young people do that stuff, you know?
Yeah, we're in the middle of a crazy promo tour, man. Yeah. We just come off planes from LA and Amsterdam and Holland and the UK, and it's just never ending, man.
Well,
it's
you
crazy.
Still have your base here in Berlin, Finn?
Yeah, I'm living here now.
Cool,
yeah,
cool.
Just down the road, actually. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
that's so good.
It's lovely around here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it is lovely to have you. Well, and my congratulations on your new album, Hard Believer. It's going to be released here in Germany on the 11th of July, on Friday.
Yeah, right.
And you've once again worked with producer Billy Bush on this one. He had been working with you on Perfect Darkness, and he's famous for producing people like Beck and many, many more. What was the reason for you to team up with him once again? Was it his technical abilities? Was it the vibe of the studio and this guy? Or was it a combination of both, maybe?
Definitely a combination, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, you know, Hollywood style, but not too polished. And obviously super experienced and fast. You know?
And he's also got tons of musical equipment, about 20 guitars to choose from. It's very nice. It's a good kind of inspiring experience being with him.
I mean, there was the option of like, oh, maybe Billy could come to London and do it in London, and we were all like, nah.
That's what the Ninja Tunes people suggested, right?
Some of our, like, maybe. Let's just say the accountants would have much preferred that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
We're like, LA sounds nice.
Even I was like, Finn lives in Berlin now. The band is like somewhere in England, maybe Brighton, maybe London. I don't really know. But why would they go to LA for the record?
Well, I think, you know, studios are awesome. The talent's awesome.
Yeah.
You get that whole Hollywood ambition thing kicking in. You know, you walk to work every day down Sunset and you see the Hollywood sign and all of that stuff just gets into the music.
In,
not in a bad way, but just in a kind of like, it's a bit more expiring.
It gets you out of your own zone as well. Like, it completely takes you. You just go there. That's all you're doing there is making a record.
Yeah.
Nothing else at all.
So no distractions at all.
Yeah,
because
distractions. Yeah.
You're not part of the LA nightlife.
No.
Well, and it's a funny thing that it only took 17 days to record the album.
Yeah.
How did you manage to work that fast and that efficient? Because it seems as if you were perfectly prepared when you entered the studio in LA this time. But then I read the. You only had 8 tracks.
The time when we go into the studio is the time where we feel ready for it, not necessarily the time when we've got enough tracks to do it, but when we're in the right space. And on the last record, we had a really good experience, like doing a couple of tracks in there.
Yeah.
And the risk
taking
is
taking parts out of the or those sessions, right, and making music out of those parts.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Or sometimes you take a half-written song and you go, you know, when we get there, let's try and nail this one. The risk is you come home without finishing the record, which is really bad.
Yeah, and you'd play table tennis all the time.
We did it. We did on the Perfect Dance album, but you know what? On this one, there was no table tennis time.
Good.
I mean, it was pretty full on 17 days and nights of hardcore. But yes, well, we live for that. You know, we love that. That's the bit we love. You know.
Yeah, and I was asking myself, how could they be so efficient? Is it because they knew the man in the studio already? Is it because Finn learned about German efficiency in the last years?
The key is to get all your arguments out of the way before you get there.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we had all those arguments in much cheaper studios, you know, in Europe. And then when we get to the big one, we all know what we're doing.
Okay, cool. So after putting out a record with the Royal Orchestra of the Netherlands in 2013, how did you avoid overproducing this new LP? Because I think in the back of your head, you must have had those sounds where like, oh yeah, and then the string orchestra comes in.
Yeah, we totally did.
And the chorus is going to be super huge.
And we tried it as well.
We tried it.
Uh-huh. It unfortunately didn't work. Partly because once you play with a 100-piece orchestra, you can't kind of downsize from that, really.
Yeah. You know, really, it's like when you've used Uber a few times, getting a normal taxi kind of sucks a little bit. And with the orchestra, like a 100-piece symphony orchestra, exactly the same thing. You know,
sure. We
get the string parts delivered for the tracks, and we'd be like, we need 100 people now. You know, and so we had none. We went the other direction.
Yeah. No,
we thought for sure it would be like a semi-classical record after that gig, but no, it turns out the opposite of that.
Yeah, and I really love that. I really love the fact that there's so many moments where the band really sounds small and the music sounds really small, and you kind of make those songs grow as well, but they're not growing up until space, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect, I think it's a perfect growth that you put in those songs. Cool. Really, really.
Thanks,
I like
dude.
That. Let's listen to another song before we talk a bit more.
Sure, man.
Hier also die, man muss es schon sagen, Hitsingle vom neuen Album.
Hit single.
Yeah, it's a hit single. He's in Fink with Looking Too Closely. Mit Looking Too Closely auf Flux FM. Ein Auszug aus dem Hard Believer Album, das am 11.07. hier in Deutschland erscheinen wird. Wir haben schon ein bisschen geredet über die Produktion dieses Albums mit Billy Bush, die ja in Los Angeles stattgefunden hat. Das war eine inspirierende Geschichte. Dort hat man sich wohlgefühlt und mit Billy Bush hat man ja schon bei Perfect Darkness zusammengearbeitet. Deswegen hat das gut geflutscht. Auch diesmal in nur 17 Tagen wurde das Album aufgenommen, das jetzt wie gesagt am Freitag erscheint. Am Donnerstag wird Finn alleine bei uns auf der Dachterrasse einen kleinen Morning Showcase am Nachmittag spielen. Dazu werde ich euch gleich noch einladen. Vorher aber noch ein paar Fragen. Is it true, Finn, that working on a song for 12 Years a Slave with John Legend kind of inspired you to dig a little deeper into the blues business?
Well, I did that song after. Well, you know, it's kind of. I guess I did that before. You know, it's hard to tell these days. Yeah. But when you hang out with these big time soul boys, you definitely get infected with some soulful vibes, no doubt. But yeah, John's on a real. He was on a real gospel tip because of the film. You know, he's digging back into his own personal roots, and it was awesome to be. Recording gospel with a gospel singer in an amazing studio. It really was pretty epic.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah,
that.
It was really, really amazing.
And I think one can believe that Hard Believer kind of reflects that topic in a way. And I sometimes have a feeling that this album was something like a gospel for the godless album. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's definitely not. We're not trying to. Yeah, it's not a religious thing. We're using the term in a more of a kind of like. Have faith in yourself, man. You know, you can do. Being a musician is cool, man. Just stick with it and do it.
Yeah, and I think just some of the melodies are really like, you know, you can basically listen to them and sing along to them pretty fast, which is something that happens with the gospel.
Sure,
but it's not because they're not complicated or intelligent enough, but it's something. That comes from deep down there. So, that's feeling good. Really.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
That's difficult to achieve. Actually, it takes like a few albums to kind of get melodies in there that exist on their own volition.
Mm.
You know, so it's good. It's really good that you're able to kind of sing.
I can relate to those melodies a lot.
It's good. Because catchiness can sometimes be a bit of a double-edged thing, you know.
Sure.
We've had people in the past say, we're really glad that you don't go for the kind of catchy chorus because that would make everything really obvious.
Mm. Sure.
So I think once or twice we've achieved both on this record.
I think so too. This album is going to be put out on your own Ninja Tune imprint, Recouped. What was the reason for building up your own sublabel? Because, I mean, the Ninja Tunes guys, they got to love you anyway.
Yeah, they love us personally. They love us as brothers, and the accounts department loves us too. But musically, we're a little bit different now from where they're going. And they've had a lovely time with Brain Feeder and getting weirder and Actress and really pushing the electronica thing back into focus for them. And we've spent the past sort of four albums getting more and more indie and more rock and more blues and much less soul and funk and, you know, beat stuff. And it was just starting to become like musically unmanageable. But we love working together like big time. We really don't want to go anywhere else.
And I've talked to so many artists and I never get the feeling that the band and the label fit together that perfectly because they had such a long history with each other.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. And you know,
it's like a soccer trainer that doesn't get kicked out because a team is losing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sure, man. And the guys at Ninja are awesome, and they sign you and they want you to do 3 or 4, 5, 6 albums if you can. They really do. And a lot of records companies, like a lot of our mates, it's really sad to be, you know, they get to second albums and if it doesn't work out, they're dropped. Whereas in Ninja Tune, it's like if your second album, and ours didn't, if your second album doesn't work out, do another one. Hurry up, you know, let's quickly get over it.
Which is beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't like go nuts on the, here's a 50 grand video and, you know, you got your own chef on tour, and they don't go nuts with that stuff. So you get to like, you know, keep going and keep banging away. And yeah, they've been really supportive. And Recouped, I got a fashion label called Recouped anyway, and it was like, you know, it's just, you know, we get to make the music we want to make, and we get to still work with the people that we really love.
Yeah.
So with no beef, it's lovely vibe. So yeah.
And the name of the label kind of like ensures the people that you're gonna get the money back.
Well, we called the clothing range Recouped because it was kind of the moment that I first recouped my record deal.
Ah, okay.
I remember it so well. It was like on sort of Revolution album. And I got the statement through to say it hasn't got a minus sign in front of the number.
Yeah.
It had a plus sign in front of the number. And I was just like, yes, hey, wicked. 4 years later, it was like, Recouped.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, and it's a bit of a cheeky way of kind of saying, you know,
okay.
I don't know.
I love it.
And we dropped a few vowels.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
if you're looking for the Recouped label, you don't have to use the, you can't use the E.
No E's, that's right.
There's no ego in Recouped.
Hey, there's
no, something like that.
There's no I in team.
You can use that for the next shirt, man.
I like that.
I don't have a problem.
No E's.
It offends my sense of grammar, though.
So what's the next few? You're gonna do some more promo the next few days?
Yeah, we go.
Then you're gonna come back on Thursday and play for us.
From here we go to Amsterdam tonight. We do some it's gonna be awesome. Do some Dutch stuff tomorrow. Then we go to Hamburg, I think, for a second, and then we come back to Berlin. Do a gig for you guys on the roof. It's gonna be really cute, really intimate kind of. It's just me and the sound guy, so it's gonna be the first actually solo gig I've done in years.
Wow.
To be honest. Which is going to be really cute, and then we go to London for rehearsals, album launch party, Montreux Jazz Festival.
Wow!
And then the festival season just kicks off.
Yeah, and then you're going to be back with the full band in November.
There's two
shows. One is already sold out.
Shows. Yeah, it's this. It's a wicked little venue. Actually, I saw a cool band there, Hundreds.
Yeah.
A few months ago, and it's like, it's in Neukölln. It's really cute. It's a nice venue.
Totally.
You know. And we're hiring an extra PA, get a bit more louder, make it a bit noisier.
Lovely. Also, wer Fink sehen möchte, der sollte sich den Donnerstag vormerken. Da hat er die nächste Chance dazu, oder da hat sie die nächste Chance dazu, denn dann wird Finn Green all alleine bei uns auf der Dachterrasse spielen ab 18 Uhr. Wer da vorbeikommen möchte, der kann mich jetzt ganz schnell anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und dann muss man sich gedulden bis in den November hinein am 11. und am 15. Das könnt ihr aber dann auch nochmal nachlesen. Gibt's Fink-Konzerte im Heimathafen Neukölln. Der 11. ist schon ausverkauft. Für den 15. gibt es aber noch noch Tickets, holt euch die schnell, damit ihr noch teilhaben könnt an der großen Full Band Show von mit Fink. Und die anderen kommen am Donnerstag gerne vorbei. Jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Wer nicht durchkommt, weil das Telefon gerade schon glüht, beziehungsweise der Draht glüht, der kann es auch per Mail versuchen. Dafür dann bitte euren Namen mit in die E-Mail hinein. Thanks a lot, guys, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, man. See you on Thursday, bro. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking forward.
Yeah, it's going to be killer.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.